On Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court will once again take up the issue of the definition of marriage. Many believe that the Supreme Court will ultimately legalize same-sex marriage in all 50 states when the decision on this case is rendered in June. Others are saying it's high time for the court to leave this up to the states and get the courts out of the legislating business. The case at hand on Tuesday is from the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the only circuit court nationwide to uphold state laws and state constitutional amendments that define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Right now, 37 states have legalized same-sex marriage, but all but a handful of those have come through the federal court system. My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He would like to get the federal court system out of this issue. He is now the sponsor of the Restrain the Judges on Marriage Act of 2015. Congressman King represents his state's 4th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee and the Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Greg. I appreciate it.
Explain what your bill does.
Well, my bill just utilizes the constitutional authority that's drafted into the original version of the Constitution by our founding fathers that provides for Congress to determine the conditions by which the federal courts can hear a case. And one of them is Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, which says that these courts can hear cases under such conditions and such restrictions as the Congress may provide. And all federal courts are created by the United States Congress, including the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the only federal court that is required by Constitution, and the balance of the federal courts are created by Congress. If they can be created by Congress, they can also be managed by Congress, and they can also be and have been in the past abolished by Congress. And so the provisions are all there for constitutional authority of Congress to tell the federal courts, you shall not hear a case on marriage, and you shall, and that's for all the federal courts except the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, we also have the constitutional authority to restrain the Supreme Court as well. So if my bill becomes law, then the states will make the decision from that point forward on marriage, and any enforcement funds would be also blocked. And so in the end, the states would decide what marriage is. There's only two questions. What is marriage, and who's going to decide? Not nine judges, or more likely five of the nine judges, but the people need to make a decision on marriage.
Well, as I mentioned, 37 states now have legal same-sex marriage, but what I didn't mention before is that I believe only about three of them got the law to be that way due to the will of the people. The rest were done either through state courts, as what happened in your state of Iowa, or through the federal court system, which is what happened over the vast majority of those states over the past year or so. And so why do you believe this legislation is the best way to halt that?
Well, I didn't believe that it was, say, 5 or 6 years ago. I do today because of the way that same-sex marriage has swept through the courts. I've read the decisions. I've sat on a judiciary committee and a legislative body for more than 18 years. I have sued on the separation of powers successfully and paid for that litigation, by the way, out of what I say is my kids' inheritance. I believe in this Constitution and the separation of powers. And I would just say that here's a concept that I don't think anybody's talking or thinking about. In 1857, the Dred Scott decision came down on slavery. They decided at the Supreme Court level that African Americans could never be citizens of the United States, that Congress couldn't ban slavery, and that Congress could not free slaves. They made those three components of that decision in 1857. Less than a half a decade later, we were in a civil war. 600,000 dead Americans later, they passed a Civil Rights Act in 1866 out of Congress. They didn't think it would stick in the South, so they passed the 13th and 14th Amendments of the Constitution, 13th to free the slaves and 14th essentially to guarantee that they had the full rights of citizenship, including equal protection under the law. If the Supreme Court couldn't ban slavery, or excuse me, couldn't resolve the slavery issue in 1857, they put us through all of that. In the end, it took constitutional amendments to end slavery. Why do we think we're going to live under judge-made law when they do this to the institution of marriage, which is the essential social unit, the building block of our society, and has been for thousands of years, to think that the arrogance of a court could rewrite that when the voice of the people could not? I think it throws us into a situation probably not as violent as the Civil War, but we also saw Roe versus Wade and what they did when they said abortion on demand is fine. We've been fighting that now since 1973. The court should not be making these big decisions. They need to be decisions of the people. That's something we should know from history, and it's something we should know from reading our Constitution, Greg.
We're talking with Iowa Congressman Steve King, represents his state's 4th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee and the Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice. Congressman, a decade ago, Republicans were unabashed in their support for traditional marriage, even most of them, I think, pushing the federal marriage amendment. Now, since the polls have changed over the past decade, there are some who will continue to speak out in defense of traditional marriage, yourself included. But most do not. The party has essentially gone silent on it, even though it's officially still in the platform. So my question is, do you think leadership is interested in moving this bill to the floor and putting a vote on it?
I think leadership, if they hear enough requests from the public to push this thing and push it, then they will. The sheer force of logic doesn't seem to have as much effect as I thought it did when I was a young, purely idealistic man. It takes the force of politics as well. And I want to make another point on this too, Greg. And it's going to take a lot of public support for this. And you're right in your analysis. But here's another point. If you look at Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, and I don't have the full list of guaranteed rights in memorized, but it is, I think it's right, true, just, and appropriate. And it's protection for race, creed, color, ethnicity, national origin, religion, sex. And other than religion, which is specifically constitutionally protected, the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act protects immutable characteristics, those characteristics which can be independently verified and cannot be willfully changed. And those are the kind of characteristics that we need to protect in law. If we're going to start protecting the mutable characteristics, those that can change and cannot be independently verified, the self-attested characteristics, once we do that, we cross the line into whatever self-assigned group of people can build the political support ends up with a constant, well, by this interpretation of the equal protection that we're getting, constitutionally protected behaviors. And once you start protecting behaviors, where do you draw the line? There's no finite place to do so on this, and it's a murky area that is, I think, is a dangerous place to go. And it's the reason that I oppose the hate crimes legislation, too, because we're punishing the thought, not the overt, and that gets into an undefinable area of law.
Two quick legal questions before we let you go, sir. If, in fact, the Supreme Court is allowed to go forward and hear this case, most observers expect that they will likely legalize gay marriage nationwide, in which case the courts will have decided about 90% of the state laws when it comes to defining marriage. What's the impact of that on our country if the courts have essentially done this rather than the people and the lawmakers?
Well, I think that you end up with judge-made law. You end up with an oligarch court, and it's only 5 of the 9 that are required to do this to completely transform a concept that's thrived in America for centuries. So then the precedent has already been laid out. There's been laid out there in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton and the Griswold versus Connecticut and Eisenstadt. It just goes on and on. I want to push it back the other way. We had a situation in Iowa where there was a governor that thought he could legislate in a similar fashion. I took him to court and sued him successfully, and they vacated his executive order. About 8 or 9 years later, they elected different majorities in the House and the Senate and a governor, and they passed that through as a matter of law. They never heard a word from me at that point because it was the decision of the duly elected representatives of the people. That's how this country needs to run. That's why Article 1 is legislative body, and that's why all legislative powers are in the Congress, not in the judges and not in the President of the United States. Or we so distort this balance of powers that we have that it ends up that people don't have a voice at all. It's just 5 of the 9 unelected judges at the Supreme Court level. And by the way, the President of the United States, who believes the 3 branches of government are, in his terms, I'm going to assign this to him, me, myself, and I.
Last question, Congressman. 2 years ago, when the court struck down part of the Defense of Marriage Act, they said that the federal government could not withhold benefits from same-sex couples in states where same-sex marriage was legal. with the rationale being that states have the right to define marriage for themselves. So legally speaking, how do they square that circle if, in fact, they end up going in that direction? Obviously, it's not a done deal yet.
I don't know how that actually plays out. I think in the end, it damages marriage in all of its forms. And that, you know, why would the civil government get involved in marriage in the first place if marriage came through and from our churches? It is a sacrament in the Catholic Church, which I am a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And so when you think about how that flowed through from over the centuries, government provided civil marriage in order to encourage that a man and a woman be joined together, hopefully in holy matrimony, hopefully blessed by children, because we know that the best environment for a child is with a mom and a dad in a home. That's the best environment for the child. Marriage, civil marriage, is about children being the beneficiaries. And when a court says that the federal government can't encourage traditional marriage, mom and dad in a home, hopefully blessed by children, then why is it that the taxpayers want to subsidize such a union? I'm afraid that's the next wave of this is, if people get married for love or lust or the benefits package, what's the next part of it? Does that mean that two consenting adults can do whatever they want to do? And what prevents it from being a third or more? It's just whoever can get the political power, because the principle of marriage is torn asunder if the Supreme Court does what many people predict it will.
And as you mentioned, sir, taxpayers involved, that's part of your legislation as well, in addition to removing the jurisdiction from the federal court system on marriage. It would also withhold federal funding for any government action on the marriage issue as well. So that's worth watching. We'll watch what happens with the legislation. Congressman, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate being back on.
Absolutely. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 4th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee and its Subcommittee on the Constitution and Civil Justice. He is the sponsor of the Restrain the Judges on Marriage Act of 2015. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.